everyone. Welcome. Welcome, James.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us here today on this very well organized podcast that is the Double Cleanse.
Sorry, our intros are so bad all the time. This is the second time we're trying to record this episode today, and the other intro was just as bad, and this one's even worse.
We keep saying, right, after this one, we really need to, like, structure the introduction, make it more...
Yeah, like, bring the listeners in.
Yeah.
And you just go, thank you. No, welcome, thank you.
Well, hi, everyone.
It's, yeah, hi,
you,
everyone.
You know what's happening. You
what? Yeah, I'm James.
Oh, God.
So I was saying I'm James.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Usually say I'm James and I'm Robert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, we're not starting again. You know who we are. You know why
you're
here.
I can't do this again. Yeah.
James, how are you today? How's your week been? Yeah. Because it's been a week.
It has been a week. Mm. All good, all fine. I still got this throat issue going on. I've got like chronic acid reflux where I don't get heartburn, but I just constantly have to clear my throat. It feels like I've got a bit of phlegm caught in my throat.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. I feel like an 80-year-old, you know, who, like, I don't know, is old.
Listen, I'm sure there are 80-year-olds out there that are healthier than us, I have to say.
Oh, I can guarantee there are 80-year-olds out there who are healthier than us. 100%.
Yeah.
And they've been smoking their whole life and they're still healthier than
us. Literally. Literally. Well, I'm fine. I think you're asking. And nothing's really happened, I'll be honest with you. I had a really busy week.
Well, you just moved house.
So. I have just moved house. Still, I still haven't unpacked all my stuff yet. My makeup room is a mess. I have a box full of makeup that's just sitting there. I'm waiting for an IKEA delivery. That's the thing. You know, when people get a beauty room, it's like, right, what IKEA furniture do I buy?
Yeah, it's that same one. It's like the drawers I have that you then label.
The Alex drawers, they are the worst. If anyone is trying to get storage for makeup, do not buy those Alex drawers. You cannot fit crap in them.
I don't mind them.
Listen.
But they are all currently empty and everything's just on a shelf.
Yeah,
you know?
Trying to, like, stack things up or trying to put palettes in them. I bought the dividers, you know, those acrylic dividers.
Oh, yeah.
What
yeah,
a waste of room, a waste of space.
No.
Yeah, because you can stack up your bronzers and powders and things, like, compact. But I could fit more in there when the dividers weren't in there. They're taking up too much room.
I guess it's more about being able to see everything that's in there, though, isn't it?
I don't want to see what I own. Oh. I have no need to see what I'm doing. I just...
Okay, well, why don't you just get boxes then? Keep them in those boxes.
Lucky dip every time.
Yeah.
No, it'll be fine when I... Because I usually have, like, 4 or 5 drawers for the palettes, but I've got a shelf coming so I can stack them. Like a bookshelf.
Oh, beautiful.
That's my version of a bookshelf.
That will do.
Yeah, I mean, it will.
That'll be absolutely fine.
James, can I ask you a question?
Okay.
Is there anything in skincare that you've been loving?
Oh, my God. There's so much I've been loving. There's a few. I just want to give a shout out to Claire's. There's a Korean brand called Dear Claire's. Right, Robert.
Yes.
When you drink loudly, when we're recording this podcast, holding your throat when you swallow isn't going to make a difference. I don't know why you keep doing it. I look up and you're just holding your throat and swallowing really loudly.
Can you still hear me swallowing when I swallow?
Yes.
Even though I'm holding my throat. Oh.
Yeah, holding your throat isn't going to do anything. It's like covering your mouth and you're crunching. You can still hear it. God, what a little bitch. Anyway, there's a Korean brand called Dear Claire's, and they have this line of products called their Fundamental line.
Yeah.
And it's all about hydration, which is, for me, as an oily-skinned gal, is fundamental to have hydration. They just released a moisturizer called the Fundamental Water Gel Cream. It's full of green tea, and that's all I remember right now, but it's lightweight. It's not a typical gel moisturizer in the sense that it's full of, like, denatured alcohol, so it like quickly absorbs. It's more just like hydrating and moisturizing. That's interesting. But there is a brand called Naturium, which I was just telling you about, which I have been absolutely loving. There are very few brands where I like all their products.
Yeah.
Crave Beauty is one of them. Holy Frog so far is one of them, you know, the cleansers.
Yeah, I love the cleansers.
And they're really good. And Naturium is one of them at the moment. I've not disliked a product that I've used. Last night, so I'm using a 1% retinol at the moment. And you know, with retinol, you really have to build up your tolerance to it.
I absolutely know that.
Oh, yeah. you're wise to that, in fact. Last night, I used their retinol cream, 2.5%. And it was lovely.
And this is who, sorry?
Naturium.
Oh, that's you've gone up a percent.
A 1.5%. I wasn't dry when I woke up. It didn't sting. Because usually with retinol, I'm like, right, the next day, I have to make sure I'm moisturizing, no actives, nothing. Because my skin's usually a little bit dry, which is normal.
Yeah.
But no, this was just so nice to use. And I didn't wake up with any kind of like dry patches. I just really like the brand. I've used an oil of theirs, and I haven't used face oils for like years.
Yeah.
Squalane oil. I just really, really like them.
Nice.
Yes. Right.
I want that retinol. Yeah. So I've been.
I was going to ask you.
Sorry.
First of all, if I may ask you a question.
Oh, you
first.
May. Yeah, of course.
Is there anything in makeup you've been loving?
Oh, okay. So I was going to actually answer that.
Okay. Well, you must wait until you're asked.
You're just so slow to ask. There's two things, and I don't want to put my foot in your what's it called? Face.
Not your foot in my mouth.
No, what's it called when I don't? It's skin. I want to still talk about something from skincare just before I get into makeup really quickly.
Okay.
We were sent some products from
Dr. Sam Bunting.
Yes. Oh my God. These products are incredible. That lip balm. Mm. It's very.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Isn't it amazing? It's very, very.
It's so good.
The ingredients are very minimal.
It's two ingredients, ceramides and lanolin.
Yeah. And it literally does exactly what it says. It has this really nice grip on the lip, but it's not tacky. It's not sticky. I don't like wearing lip products. If anybody listening watches any of my videos, you know I don't put on like lipstick and things like that because I hate the feeling of lip product. It feels like warm on the lip. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas
balm, feels suffocating.
Yeah, this lip balm sits really nicely, completely smooths out my lip. No little lines, anything like that. Oh God, I'm choking because I'm so excited. No, it's actually because I had dairy. It's one of the best lip balms I've ever used, especially for makeup prep, for lip prep, because it's not too, it doesn't hang around. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's just like gives you a perfect lip. And somebody actually commented on my video, this one person, and they were like, your lips look really hydrated. What are you using? And I was like, I can't remember. But now I remember I used that lip balm and then just used like a tiny, like little bit of a lip gloss on top. Mm. Oh my God, beautiful. I love it. It's like one of the best products I use in such a long time.
Yeah, it's like lanolin. Did I say it? Yeah, lanolin is an emollient, so that kind of keeps hydration in. And then you have ceramides, which is all over our skin, and that's like I think we talked about this last week.
Yes, we did.
It's like the building blocks of your skin, basically.
Yeah.
So it's literally two things that are just gonna do their job and help like your lips be nice.
Yeah, talking about
come and watch my YouTube channel where I do really good reviews.
Oh no, I'm okay. I am. So just into makeup very quickly, I did a video not that long ago. It was like brands I'll never review, and I made the idea myself. It wasn't from your videos at all.
It wasn't from my videos at all. No, I noticed that.
It was completely
Someone commented like, Robert did a video like this. What did I do? I did the truthful YouTuber tag, which was nothing like that video you did.
Yeah.
But they were like, Robert did a video like this, but it's called Brands He'd Never Review. And I was like, oh yeah, I saw it. I have a whole playlist of Brands I'll Never Review videos.
That's
if you
weird,
want to go
James.
Watch
are
it.
You plagiarizing me? I got the idea from you off. It was a really good idea because I get a lot of people asking if I'm going to review certain
Thank
brands.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
I think, like, reviews like that are important because people always want, like, what you love, but what we dislike is just as important.
Oh, my God, people take it so personally.
They do.
They're like, I can't believe you don't like this brand. I'm never looking at you again. And it's like, did you make
it's my favorite brand.
Does a creator of that brand know you exist, that you need that much Morphe energy is my mum. Defending it?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I said I would never review Revolution Skincare, which I won't ever. However, I will still review Revolution. They brought out another sub-category of their whole company, another sub-company called XX Revolution, which is no different to any of their other products. However, they do have this amazing, like, highlighter kind of blusher palette, which is actually really, really good. Really creamy, sits really nice on the skin. It doesn't look drugstore at all. And that's kind of been the only, like, one product that's kind of impressed me this week.
But the thing is, they're not bringing anything new to the table at all. Where I think it's good is that they're available worldwide in some places where The Ordinary isn't. So it's not like they're bad products. It's just, like, they're not also anything new at all. You know? So it's just a bit annoying. It's more annoying that a brand with as much money as they have, as much popularity that they have, can't concentrate on making new, inventive products.
Oh, the things you could do with the amount of money. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Revolution was started as a copycat brand anyway. They copied all the Urban Decay Naked palettes, which some people appreciate because some people can't afford those certain things, and brands have been known to dupe things, but Revolution do it to a whole another level. Like a whole another
level. It's just like there's inspired by, isn't there? And then there's copying.
Yeah, they unfollowed me on Instagram.
So, are you okay?
No, I'm not. I thought we were friends. No. So listen, that's that. So today what we thought we would do for you guys, we get a lot of questions both on our individual YouTubes, Instagrams, and even on our podcast Instagrams. but we never get to answer them because our podcast one, we kind of do like a mass clear out of messages so we can... when we ask you guys a question, we can find the replies easier. So what we thought we would do is actually put out there this week, we thought we'd do like a little Q&A and answer some of your questions. I mean, listen, there might be answers to questions you never knew you had.
This is the thing. I like watching Q&As from people I follow because sometimes there's questions in there that I didn't know I wanted answering.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to hear... the answers.
Yeah, so there's going to be a mix of skincare questions, makeup questions, maybe even some personal questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, James, do we just get into it?
Let's just get into it. Are we saying names of the people that asked?
Some of them are like usernames and I can't be able to try and pronounce them. Okay. But thank you all for your questions.
Yeah, thank you so much.
The first question is actually for you, James. It says, when you try a new product, this is a good one actually, how do you know when you're purging or breaking out?
So, purging often comes from... well, usually only comes from ingredients that... what are you doing?
I'm just holding my hands together and nodding at you.
It looks like you were doing this.
I'm trying to click my
I feel like you were mocking me.
Oh, no! Because they're paranoid.
God. Sorry. So purging often comes from active ingredients only. So if you're using like a new chemical exfoliator, retinol, for example, vitamin C, these active things that speed up cell turnover. Because obviously what that is doing is speeding up the process of your skin, basically. So all those underlying spots are going to pop up on the surface. But they often go very, very quick. Like very quick. So when I purge, they're there for a day or two and they go. They usually, you'll come to know what purging breakouts look like as well. They're small, they're not really pustule most of the time for me.
Yeah, they're kind of like more, they're kind of more like bumps than they are spots.
Yeah. I mean, you could get like spotty spots, don't you? I mean, I guess it depends on the kind of spots you get in general. But then if you're having a reaction to it, it usually comes with irritation, obviously. So, was that the question?
No, or breaking out if you're having like a...
or breaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So breaking out will come from...
I just want to add in quickly. I feel like it might be almost too coincidental if you're starting to use an active ingredient and you have a breakout at the same time. I think if you're going to use like an active ingredient, more than likely, guys, I don't know anything about skincare, by the way, so I don't know why I'm saying this. I think more than likely it's if you're having like a breakout while you're using active ingredients, it's more than likely purging, right?
Purging is a breakout, so there's not really a difference there. It will be if you're having a reaction to the product. So is your skin itchy with it? Is your skin irritated? Is it red and inflamed? Is what I personally find. I know if I try a new active, I expect purging.
Right.
But yeah, these will quickly go, but then some products do take longer, if that makes sense. Like, whilst you might not, the actual spots you get from purging might not last as long, you might purge for a long time. Does that make sense? So the physical spot might go in a couple of days, but you'll get another one. But there's a lot of products, for example, that are worth waiting for the purge to come through. So the purging is breakouts, but you want to be looking whether you're having a reaction or purging.
Right.
And a reaction is... But then this is why there's a few things you can do that really help... knowing what is what. So first of all, if you are trying a new product, just use that as your new product. Stick with your very basic routine. Introduce that new product for a couple of weeks, I like to do, and then you know if you're purging or going to have a reaction to it. But also, if you are trying a new product, patch test a little bit of stuff, a little bit of product behind your ear, 48 hours. If you get a reaction there, don't use it. So those two little things will help you know whether you're purging or having a reaction.
Yeah, perfect.
But purging is breakout.
Yeah. Awesome. Yep. Right, another skincare question. How important are supplements, e.g. vitamin E, collagen, in our skincare routine?
A lot of them don't... Do you mean taking them physically or do they mean collagen within the product itself?
Well, let's talk about both.
Supplements. Mm. Yeah, so collagen taken internally isn't going to get to your skin. So collagen supplements are more about protein within your body, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, but I do, I don't know exactly, but I do think there are ways, I think like collagen drinks.
Yeah, there are.
Let me double collagen, check that.
Yeah, there's collagen powder drinks. A lot of pyramid schemes sell them, so don't buy them from Beachbody. Mm. But
so a lot of the collagen tablets and a lot of collagen supplements that you see are, when taken internally, are more of like a protein supplement, if that makes sense. So they're not going to go to your skin and like deep smooth out wrinkles and stuff. There are some supplements and powders that work though, and there's some that don't work, if that makes sense. I think you're going to have to fact check me on this. I actually say go check out a video by Lab Muffin Beauty Science. She goes through quite a few exact brands and types of collagen supplements and how they work within the body. I think it's something like powders and drink collagen can actually work, but as far as supplements go, they don't. As far as collagen, for example, in your skincare, it's just a humectant. It's just a moisturizing as well. So it's not really... It's not going to do anything for anti-aging. Vitamins, of course, are important. They're good for your skin. It's just generally eating and being healthy is good for your skin.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people just have good genetics as well and can probably eat like shit and still have good skin.
Some people are very, very lucky. People are very lucky. Here's an interesting one.
Go on, then.
Where's it gone? Oh, I'm going to sneeze.
Careful. Oh my god, it sounds like a cough.
I don't know, my AV tablet. Okay. How much makeup / skincare is too much?
Okay, so here's the thing. When it comes to skincare, you don't need everything. So your cleanser, moisturizer, sunscreen. They are the very, very, very basics of what you need, and they'll do fine. Things like exfoliators are then nice to add on. And I would still say that's a basic and exfoliation stage, right? But then serums are going to give your skin that boost. You definitely don't need an essence or a toner, but it might help with hydration. Then obviously, once you get all those, you can just add. There is such thing as too much skincare, and dermatologists will always tell you the more minimal, the better. What I think is more important personally with my testing is too much of the wrong stuff or trying too many new things at one time. But I think that's kind of like the culture of skincare now, as brands are constantly coming out with new stuff and we just want to keep buying stuff.
We want to keep trying.
it's keep trying. That's brands like The Ordinary, for example, although affordable, make you think that you need all these different types of ingredients.
Oh, the amount of times I thought I needed like 2% mosaic acid. I was like, oh, I must get that mosaic acid.
Yeah, that could be a really good product to release, actually. But yes, there is such a thing as using too much. There is. But it's funny because, like, you have all these, like, amazing, like, dermatologists and skincare reviewers on YouTube who talk about the science of it and this is what science says. And then all these scientists come onto YouTube and they're like, science isn't a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know. So it does depend on your skin. I personally can use up to 10 products in a routine. Not that I would. But, like, my ultimate routine, if I was to do masks and everything one day, would be 10 products, give or take. But it doesn't make it any better than a skincare routine with 3. So it really does depend on what your skin is going for. Mm-hmm. I would say start off absolutely minimal. If you want like a good routine, use a cleanser, use an exfoliator 2-3 times a week, introduce a serum and then a moisturizer and a sunscreen.
Right. It's like buying the Sims base game and then adding expansion packs.
Oh, it's exactly like that. It's often referred to as that within the skincare world.
So, in terms of too much makeup...
Isn't too much makeup just a personal opinion?
It kind of is and it isn't. Here's the thing. People in makeup in general are very quick to correct people on makeup, and they're also very quick to be like, but there's no rules. But here's the deal. Too much makeup, it becomes too much makeup when you start to see the texture of makeup and not the texture of your skin. If you put on too much foundation and then put on too much powder and then put on too much bronzer, and then you start to see the texture of a powder and you start to see this weird, almost like sandy texture, then you know you've put on way too much. When your products start mixing and become like different tones they shouldn't be. Also, how comfortable it is in your face. How long is it going to last in your face? Again, it's down to who you are. If you're confident that you can wear a full coverage foundation and do multiple layers of that foundation and it's not going to run off your face throughout the day, then you're fine. I think too much makeup comes to your personal skin. Do you get time to touch it up? How long are you going to have to wear it for? It comes down to situation and purpose, I guess, of the makeup. And too much makeup is basically everything we see online. So that to me personally is too much makeup. And like you said, unnecessary products being added on, unnecessary color correctors, unnecessary jelly highlighters and strange things that you don't really need, baking your eyebrows, like all this weird stuff that you actually don't need to do. But we've been kind of, well, not me because I was around before YouTube and all that kind of stuff. But I know there's people that have been brought up on YouTube thinking, you know, learning how to do makeup from there. I totally forgot what I was saying. What I was saying,
who think
basically,
that's the right thing to
who think that's the right thing to do, or that it's more that they need to do it. You don't need to do it. You can if you want. It's not very practical for most people, but you don't need to do it. So think about what your skin needs, how your skin texture looks. Do you even want to buy these products? You don't have to buy a contour palette if you don't want to, you know?
Yeah. But if you want to do a full face glam to go to work or walk the dog, then do it. Like, it's not saying,
And I think, again, too much comes into what lighting you're doing it in. If you want to wear a full face of makeup, do it in as natural light as possible, then you know it's going to look good everywhere else. Yes.
Very good.
Are there any brands, good or bad, that have surprised you and why?
Yeah, I feel like I say this all the time, but when we talk about Glossier, I do not like their skincare. We say it's skincare and makeup for people with already good skin, isn't it? Like people who just want to put a little bit of like blush on or something.
Yes, a little blush.
But I was surprised. I think I was more surprised at my reaction to it, that I really like their lip balms. I'm just like obsessed with them. And they're just lip balms. It's like higher priced Vaseline with colours in, do you know what I mean? But it's really, really nice. It's like not suffocating like Vaseline. Yeah. It's not sticky. It sits nice on the lips. I don't know. I think things like that don't surprise me anymore because I think brands release so much stuff nowadays and they have so many products in their arsenal that you're going to get your shits, you're going to get your hits.
Exactly.
You know, I think one brand that I really didn't expect to love one of their products so much is Tatcha. Tatcha.
Oh yeah, Tatcha. Yeah. I think
I don't want to like their, what's this called? The dewy skin cream. I don't want to like it.
Yeah.
But my skin looked and felt so good I was using it.
Yeah.
And honestly, like looking at the ingredients, it's nothing special. It's overpriced for no reason. So when I did use it, because I filmed a video expecting to like be sagging it off, I was just like, my skin likes it. Like, what can I do?
Yeah.
You know? How about you?
Yeah. So there was one concealer that I still love to this day from Primark.
Oh, yes.
And it cost me
explain Primark.
So Primark,
Americans,
for everyone who doesn't have it, is almost like, I'm trying to think what it would be like in America. Imagine going to Target, almost. It's not as good. Target is incredible, though. Primark is like affordable clothes. Oh, it's the best. Actually, and you know what? Target has some like actual brands in. So maybe not even Target. Because it's really difficult to describe.
Primark, you go if you need like a cheap belt or a cheap pair of leggings real quick.
Yeah, if you're like, I'm going on holiday and I need a belt that's a pound because I'm going to throw it away and I'd be sick on it when I'm on holiday. So you go to... it's basically like... to me, it's disposable fashion for men anyway. We do actually do some nice women's stuff. But...
men's stuff is terrible.
It's terrible. This concealer was 90p and I bought it expecting not to like it. I thought, I'm going to film this video. It's going to be a great laugh, an honest review. And I tried it and it was the most incredible texture. It was like, I don't know how to describe it, like a see-through concealer. Like it covered, but I could see my skin. I could see texture. It gave my skin this incredible finish. I started taking it to work with me.
And did you hide it? Or did
I hid it. No, I hid it. And I was like, what are you using? I'm like, oh, it's just nothing. It's nothing. You know, it's just, I can't remember. Because it's 90p. Incredible. Incredible. How good it is for your skin, I'm not sure. But it was a really good concealer.
It looks good,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, next question. My nose is super textured. How do I make it look normal with makeup? Here's the thing. Before you get into skin looking great underneath makeup, you need to concentrate on your skincare before. That's the main answer, basically. Just quickly, in terms of makeup, is priming the different areas of your face in different ways, multi-purpose, if that makes sense. So primers, shop for a primer depending on your skin type. Make it really specific to your skin type, dry, oily, dehydrated, whatever. I use one that's a little bit more hydrating around my... a little bit more tacky around my like nose where it's slightly textured, where I'm dehydrated. And that for me is the only thing that gives textured skin a smooth finish is something like Milk Hydro Grip, which kind of has this, how do you describe it? It's almost like it's a, wait, do you have it? Why do I think you have it?
I do have it.
You do?
It's like to me, it feels like
a gel, sticky gel.
Glue that's a little bit sticky,
right,
but not as thick as a clear glue. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, like... yeah. And it kind of sits on every skin texture really well, considering my forehead is oily, my cheeks are quite textured, my nose is dehydrated but oily. I don't have an issue with it on any part of my face. Keep it away from dogs because it has xylitol. That's my only feedback on that.
Yeah, like you said, it's important. It's the skin that's causing that issue. It's not your makeup that's causing that textured look. So it could be that your face is maybe like a little bit dry. Maybe you need to up your moisturizing game. Exfoliation is a huge part, obviously, to do with texture. So when it's on the nose, where a little bit more oily and porous, it's good to use like a BHA as well as an AHA. So BHA exfoliators are going to get right in there. They're oil soluble, so they're going to help clear out all that gunk. AHAs are going to work on the surface. They're going to smooth out your skin. AHAs are good at helping to retain hydration as well. So I personally, when my nose is looking textured, use a BHA twice a week, AHA once a week. Make sure I'm hydrated, make sure I'm moisturizing. And then it's not a quick fix, so skin texture is something that takes a while to smooth out.
Exactly.
If you do want to use a bit of a physical exfoliator, which I personally don't like, but you can get one of those, are they called cognac sponges? They're like those little dry things.
I thought it was Kojak, but I think
it might be cognac. It might be Kojak or something.
Yeah.
They aren't abrasive. They're really, really like light, but you can have like a little scrub away at the desk in there as well, but just be really gentle. But yeah, it's a bit of a process, but if you keep doing it, make it part of your weekly routine, you'll start to notice the texture kind of smooth out.
And I do always think as well, people with texture skin or problematic skin in certain areas, I do always suggest that you have a separate skincare routine pre-makeup to your AM and PM routine, just because your skin is going to need again, I always say it, your skincare routine before your makeup needs to be literal to your skin type. Because me being oily, I use oils at night, but I wouldn't dare use hydration or too much hydration before my makeup because I know my skin can't take that much hydration.
You can hydrate, but you wouldn't want to moisturize.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah. So not too much moisture. But in the evening, I moisture a lot, if that makes sense. So makeup is made quite literally for skin type. We have full coverage foundations for oily skin, dry skin. So although being an oily person, you absolutely need to hydrate, not before your makeup, if that makes sense.
Because that's the thing, because like, I'm oily skin, but I like the dewy look of makeup. Right, like if I was going to wear makeup, I'd go for that. But I wouldn't then...
See, in that case...
my like, usual dewy skincare routine, because I'm about to go in.
Okay, we would have to massify your skin as much as possible, because what breaks down our makeup is the oil from underneath, so we need to create that look with makeup, not with skincare.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's why I always think it's great if you're not too dry to keep oils at bay as much as you can, because oils ruin everything with makeup.
Interesting.
Unless they're taking it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like Instagram style of makeup or skincare more if people said it wasn't only for Instagram? I know what you mean.
Wrong.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. I remember the first time I ever saw someone carve out an eyebrow, when you go round the eyebrow with concealer, and being fascinated by it. And I always remember it was, I worked in Mac and Selfridges in Oxford Street when I was 18. Was 17, and there was this makeup artist called Ben who worked there. He was like probably my age now back then. And he had, he was doing this lady's makeup, and it was quite like, you know, evening makeup. And he carved out this eyebrow, and I was like, oh, what? What is this? Yeah. And then everyone's gathering around, and we're like, oh my god, that looks amazing, all this kind of stuff. So there are so many techniques that people, I get tagged in a lot of stuff, like, what do you think of this new trend? It's like, listen, like in our trend, we covered this in our trend podcast, a lot of the Instagram stuff you see online is almost a gathering of every over the top or every dramatic technique in makeup, taken from drag techniques, taken from stage techniques, you know, so knowing that makeup washes off, I don't mind some over the top stuff. But just don't apply it wrong. For me, I don't like, and I'm sure you would agree with skincare, I don't like a lot of Instagram techniques or things because it's false information.
Yeah.
That's why that's I don't what like it. Is. It. Yeah. Not because end result is terrible, or sometimes it is, but it's kind of false. It's not realistic. It's a form of entertainment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the thing with Instagram skincare, in quotations, is it's Instagram skincare because the way they're applying these products, the way they're using them, is wrong, and in some cases potentially damaging to your skin. So it would bother me just thinking that people are at home doing that and applying it wrong.
Yeah.
And like it's even if it wasn't referred to as Instagram makeup, it's just the fact that it's wrong.
Popularized as well on Instagram.
Popularized on Instagram. Also.
James, hi. What is the best way with skincare and makeup to hide / get rid of dark blue circles under the eyes?
Oh, it's very difficult because there's a few reasons why you might have dark circles under your eyes. So it could be genetics. It could be allergies, like you and me get really bad hay fever. Yeah. So like during the summer, I look like shit.
My eyes are like brown.
Yellowy brown. So blue is usually the blood vessels. So that's not usually the genetic pigmentation that you can get on your eyes. So, caffeine is actually good for, there's a lot of gimmicky eye creams, right? Especially with caffeine in. But if you could get like a caffeine solution, like something like The Ordinary do, that can temporarily restrict those blood vessels to get rid of that bluey tone under the eyes. It's tough though. It's annoying things like sleep and diet. And if you do have allergies, sorting those out, and like maybe a bit of like under eye massage, like lymphatic drainage, all that kind of stuff. But I would avoid eye creams, expensive eye creams. I would avoid like anything that says like for the eyes other than a caffeine solution, really.
Right.
Because that's just the science of it. You can get under eye fillers to add like a, because you can see it because your skin's so thin under there, so you see all those blood vessels. The fillers tend to puff it out a little bit, don't they?
Yeah.
But not. I don't know. I don't think it's ever worth it. But yeah, caffeine for that really. Mm-hmm. If it's not pigmentation.
Yeah.
Pigmentation is usually just in the corners. So you know, like corners by your nose, and you see it like quarter of the way across, and it's like a purpley kind of pigment.
Yeah.
If it's that bluey kind of like panda eyes, as people call it, that's usually blood vessels.
Yeah.
Ordinary is caffeine solution. Be patient with it.
Perfect. With in terms of makeup as well, you do want to color correct, but again, not to the extreme that we see online.
Get orange. Get red lipstick.
Use a red, pure red lipstick under your eyes and in your eye. The best way to do it is to get a concealer that is a pink tone or red tone. Find out what the brand does that you're going to get. And depending how dark it is under the eyes, if it's not too dark, go 2 or 3 shades darker than your skin tone. If it's quite heavy dark, go 4 shades darker than your skin tone in the concealer, and use that. Just concentrate it on top of the areas where it's very, very dark, because then that is going to cover those dark areas without you having to then color correct a color corrector, because then you can go straight on top of that with a lighter concealer if you want to make it look brighter, or your natural color concealer. Let it sit for a while. Use your fingers to really warm up the product and push it into the skin under the eyes. That will also help with creasing. We don't want to build it up too much. As a very last resort, as it's quite... You have to be very careful taking it off because it does stain, of course, would be a lip stain. And not too close to the eye because it does have red pigmentation, but a lip stain that is an orange lip stain, and not one that you peel off, just like little dots of it. But I mean, this is a very last resort, and only if it's like a special event or something like that, and you don't go too intense. So leave it on there for a little bit, wipe away the excess, and then go on with your lighter concealer, because that red is going to color correct. Again, not too close to your eye. But here's the thing with dark under eyes, once you correct it a little bit, you might still be able to see it, but everyone else who doesn't know you or hasn't seen your face would be like, looks fine.
Yeah cool.
Oh, sorry, I have a question.
You have a question.
Tell if a product will be good for you. What other things to consider when buying?
Interesting. So this is like the thing we were talking about, like the Ordinary. They come up with so many different acids and ingredients, you know, something peptide complex and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
which makes you think you need them. So a good thing to do is to think about what your skin type is. Very roughly, skin types aren't really a thing, but is a good indication of kind of like what you might need for your skin.
Exactly.
So I think of my skin type, I think of one area of concern in quotations for me, that'll be hyperpigmentation. And then if I need hydration or moisture, it's good to do both. So you pick So when you're looking at a product, for example, like a tranexamic acid is going to be perfect for me because I have post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. Hyaluronic acid serum, don't necessarily need it because I'm going to get that in my hydrating and moisturizing moisturizer, for example. So I think it's important to know what your... Pick one concern at a time. Pick one area of concentration, I should say, really. Instead of trying to fix all at one time, if that makes sense. So I think a brand like the Inculist, I think, who is an example of a brand who has have so many different options, is a good brand to go for because they tell you exactly what that product means, unlike the Ordinary, and where that slots into your routine, which I find super, super interesting. But yeah, that's a good thing I would say is go by your very basic skin type, pick one or two concerns or areas of concentration, and then research ingredients that are good for that.
Let me ask you this quickly.
Yeah.
Is there a difference? Not is there a difference really, but when it comes to
makeup, this is a really good question.
And that's my question. It's a yes or no answer. When it comes to buying skincare, do you think people should invest in products more than a drugstore product?
No, not necessarily. I think there's, like, that would suggest that more expensive products, for example, are better. Or
do you think there's anything there's you need to be wary of when it comes to drugstore products?
Yeah, so drugstore products are affordable, some of them for a very good reason. Mm. I do feel like in the UK anyway, in England, if you go into Boots, it's completely different if you go into, like, an American one or a pharmacy in France, for example. But we have very old-fashioned skincare products in Boots and Superdrug.
Yeah.
Full of alcohol, which isn't always a bad thing, but poorly formulated, a ton of fragrance. Mm. I feel like if you're a teenager and you're starting a skincare routine, it's the kind of stuff your mum gets you start off your skincare routine. Luckily nowadays there are more affordable options that you can get online, but that's not to say that there aren't some gems in drugstores. There 100% is. Neutrogena have a few good bits. Avene, La Roche-Posay, you find in our drugstores there, like French pharmacy brands that are really, really nice. But yeah, no, I wouldn't say, like, go out of your way to kind of, like, hunt down the more expensive or the pricier, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah. I don't know if I explained that very well as far as, like, knowing what's good for your skin.
James, I think you do.
Oh, one thing I would say, thank you. Yeah. One thing I would say is just because someone with a similar skin type of yours enjoys a product, remember it doesn't mean that your skin is going to enjoy that product
very
too.
True.
Right? So, like, that's why I wouldn't go out and buy a whole load of stuff and just trial one thing at a time based on your areas of concentration.
Mm-hmm. James, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So, how the feck... Do I match my foundation properly? My melanin-rich self be struggling. Yes. Let me... foundation matching is difficult, especially if you have a much deeper skin tone. One, because not everyone provides a good enough range, but also because not everyone's skin is one colour, if that makes sense. If you do have a deeper skin tone, more than likely you might have to use something a little bit warmer around the edges, like almost around your hairline, around your jawline, around the mouth, where you might have a little bit of deeper pigmentation, and then something lighter in the middle, where you might have a little bit lighter. If you have a fairer skin tone, you may be more red in the middle of your face and a little bit more of a bluey undertone around the edges. So to me, if I'm doing a client, I will never use just one color. I look at the color first. If there's any evening out I need to do, I'll do that first, and then I'll add the main color to the middle of the face. So it's really difficult. Here's the thing, right? I always remember, and this, you're going to think, what the hell is he talking about? I always remember watching this program, and it was about the people who mix paint for Dulux paint. You know, like the wall paint.
Oh yeah, they put it in a thing and they shake it.
No, not in a B&Q, not in like a Home Depot. The people that actually create the colours themselves are people who are especially trained to see colour. So they can pick out colours in other colours. They might look at a green and see a hint of pink or a hint of yellow that a normal eye might not be able to see. And I think it's very important with colour, whether it be skin tone or, you know, foundation, to kind of study and learn your skin pigmentation a little bit. There's a video on my YouTube channel that I done last year, I think it is now, and you might have seen online on TikTok or on Instagram, where these people are dotting colors on their face and then blending it all in, which isn't the best way to do it, because every time someone does that, it suddenly cuts and they suddenly have a perfect shade. Yeah. But there's a really good way to practice and kind of understand your skin tone, and it's something they teach in makeup schools, so you can match color to your clients, if that makes sense. And it trains your eye to see what needs to be added, what color needs to be taken away, so you can go into a drugstore, you can go somewhere and look at a foundation and be like, actually that's not red enough, or it's not yellow enough, or I need a slight hint of blue in there. So if you get face paint, just get black and white. You can get blue, yellow, and red. So just grab a basic face paint. You can have green instead of blue, whatever. Start with what you think your skin tone undertone is. So you can start with a yellow, you can start with a red, you can start with a blue. And then basically add to that. Add a bit of white to lighten, add a bit of black to darken, add red to make it warmer, add yellow. And just keep going until you've made your foundation shade or your skin color shade on your face. So you're building color, because all color is made from primary or false primary colours, as some people call them, and black and white. Yeah, exactly. Mm. And black and white. So by doing this, maybe once a week or, you know, once every other day, don't let it stress you out. It's fun to do. Do it on your arm, do it in different places. Cover a tattoo and so you can see what colour you need to cover. It trains your eye to see colour more. So you can be a little bit more specific. And I do think as well, with deeper skin tones, unfortunately, and there should be, not many people are very well trained in it.
Can I just say, like, when you see those, like, colour charts of, like, the brands who haven't obviously made colour for, like, darker skin tones and black people, the amount of undertones that they cater for, because it's not just the exact colour, is it? So you have all the white undertones that anyone you can imagine of, and you get, like, the three darker tones at the end, and they just look orange.
So they give you a red, a yellow, and an orangey colour for deeper skin tones, and a weird grey one, if you're lucky. Yeah. That's sometimes what you get. There are brands that do, like, an amazing shade range, but there are very few people that are trained to do it. I remember doing... certain times where I've had to take over from someone doing makeup because they're unable to do deeper skin tones, and it's like, where did you train? Why do you not
going
know
off,
this?
Going off a little bit from the subject, but do you think it's hard to make deeper skin tones, or is it just the brand hasn't been bothered up until
the brand can't be bothered? Whereas because if you look into studies, people of color in general spend more money on beauty products than white people. They spend billions on makeup, hair care, everything like that, because brands that cater to that's not what I want to say. Because once, like, I mean, it's like everyone, you find a product that you really like and you stick with that brand. And so imagine being in a world where actually not that many brands cater to you, and then you find this one product that is really great, and finally somebody does something amazing for you. Of course you're going to be loyal to that brand and spend money because it's something that's a really good brand, you know, and actually suits you. So I feel like brands do it, like, it's a second thought for some brands. If I was to bring out, I have to be honest, being in makeup, it's so easy to cheat a lighter skin tone. You can have three or four shades for a lighter skin tone and be like, oh, I'll just make it a little bit lighter and add some bronzer, you know? Whereas with a deeper skin tone, you can have, and as a makeup artist, you can have a little bit more fun with it. You can kind of even it out, make it look really smooth. That's not what I want to say at all. Yeah, you can have a bit more, like, fun with it. So it's, to me, it's a better skin tone to do makeup work with. So it's a shame not many people are trained in it. Like, who was that model who showed a picture from backstage at Fashion Week and showed for a makeup artist's foundation? I'll try and find it, and we'll put it on our Instagram. And she had, like, five foundation shades, and they were all lighter. It's so unprofessional, and it's so, like, you're literally saying that you don't want to help those, you don't want to help anyone with a deeper skin tone. That's literally saying, I don't know how to do it, sorry. Why haven't you tried? Yeah. It's your job.
Yeah, exactly.
So, practice, basically. Practice matching your own skin tone. And here's the thing. A lot of the time, you're going to know your skin tone a lot more than anyone else. It's fine for a makeup artist to do it on you for a day, but if you're going to find a foundation for, you know, the rest of your life, you can go into a shop and be like, that's not my skin tone. You know what your skin tone looks like outside in your house, you know? So practice matching your own using face paints. And then you'll see colour a little bit more, and then you can swatch a foundation and be like, no, that's too pink, or that's too yellow.
Yeah.
James, hi.
Hi.
This says, am I okay to be using the skincare brand Simple, or should I be investing more?
No, you can absolutely use Simple. There are some, it's a good basic brand. I feel like it's a good basic starter brand. What irks me, I would say, about Simple is that their products aren't simple. They're very generic. They give off the idea that they're clean beauty in quotations, because that, again, that means nothing. I remember when Simple came out, or like they were up their brand or whatever, and all the adverts were like rose petals with paint being flung over them, and then they were being cleaned with makeup wipes and shit. And I was like, this is like the worst thing I've ever seen, even back then. But no, they are an absolutely fine brand. They'll do their jobs, just don't use their makeup wipes. And that's the thing, it's because it is that more oh no, is more a drugstore brand. Sorry, I thought there was a wasp or something. It is more a drugstore brand. Again, yeah. That's not to say all drugstore brands are bad, but it is one of the ones that I personally avoid, only because my skin didn't take to it very well. But
yeah,
no, you're absolutely fine. Absolutely fine.
Yeah. So please help on how to cover up redness. It says color correcting ? It depends how red your redness is. I always think, wait, if you're going to cover redness on a skin, whether it be burst capillaries or something extremely red on the face, you can always do it really simply with your normal foundation first, and then your heavier concealer afterwards. Foundation should be your even everything out as much as you can, and then concealer is to literally conceal and to cover certain areas. So what did I see the other day? There was a question that was like, I think people don't know what concealer is for anymore.
I don't.
And this has nothing to do with this question, by the way, because we see people using it so much to highlight, to make these bright triangles on their face. That isn't the initial purpose of concealer. Concealer was made to give you further coverage than your foundation, if that makes sense. And yes, you can use like a little bit to highlight under the eye, but concealer should be there to cover. And there are different kind of coverages of concealer. So you can have a really lightweight concealer that's still heavier than a foundation, but still lightweight. And then you can have a full coverage, I always call it like stage kind of makeup concealer, that gives you a little bit more coverage. But ideally, you should have one. If you use it to highlight, that's fine, but you should have one that matches your skin tone as well. So you can use it to cover what your foundation won't. There really isn't a need for color corrector, I feel, unless it's under the eye. You can always find a concealer that is going to cover redness on the skin. Even if it's intense red, that purpley red, Kryolan, for example, or do foundations that are heavier, camouflage concealer is a really, really good kind of, not brand, but what's it called? A type of concealer to get. Yeah, but you can cover redness with concealer easy. Foundation first, then concealer.
Cool.
Is that easy? So we'll end it on this one. This one says, do you have any secret products that you keep from each other?
From each other?
Is there something you are not telling me, James? you're smoking.
There's something... something you're not telling me. Honestly, I don't like sharing all my expensive products, not with you, but online. I do get a bit funny because I don't want to push that idea that expensive products are better, because they're often not.
And people kind of hate you for it.
Funny. They do, yeah.
They're like, yeah, but
I saw a comment the other day, right? I was like, because I recently bought myself the Kate Somerville Delicate. It's a moisturizer. It's meant to help with redness and irritation, right? Yeah. And I had a bad reaction to a product. I thought, I need a good moisturizer with good ingredients, not a high price, that's going to help with this. I saw people talking about the Delicate moisturizer. I bought it. It's good, right? And then I shared the Sunday Riley moisturizer, which is gifted, and then the Tatcha one, which I initially bought a sample of but enjoyed it, so I bought the whole one. And this was all within like the space of a week, and then someone commented on my I think it was like a community channel tab or something I've started to use too much expensive products, and that's the way my channel's going, but good luck to me, and I hope it all works out. I was like, what do you think's going on here? I was like, those were still pricey items for me, and I don't shop by price. Like, you can tell by literally three products to what, like, over 200 products I have sitting in this room or more, that's not what I go for.
Yeah.
But I think the expensive products do stand out to people a lot more, because they're like, oh shit, that's pricey.
Yeah.
Rather than the £5 products that I use mainly. You know?
Yeah.
But no, there's not really anything I keep secret, to be honest with you.
No, because I mean, I'm not
other than
be
the
like,
Sailor Moon lip balms.
Oh, I have. I've seen them. I have. Christ. I thought you were talking about my little thingy ones.
No.
Which I don't have. Did I give them to you? Oh, no. Where have they gone?
Oh yeah, you did the little sticks. The
yes.
Ones.
Yeah,
I've got them.
Yeah, so there's nothing I keep from James, obviously, because I'm, you know, he doesn't wear like makeup, so I can't really keep it. And we kind of discussed our favorite products. But you saying about this thingy, I had this comment. I reviewed something, and someone was like, "You have a preconceived conception of more affordable products. You always use high end, all this kind of stuff." And I'm like, I literally, like, my favourite concealer is 90p. And, like, I use palettes that are, like, £3 and they've been amazing. And, but you're right, people do focus more on when you use a high-end product and they kind of don't like you for it. And it's like, but I want to use that too, you know? And, of course, I'm going to use higher-end products when it comes to my skincare because it's my skin. And that's what I choose to do. And if I'm doing, like, freelance work, then, yeah, I'll use higher-end products, but I'm not going to shove my kit full of Revolution and then turn up somewhere, you know? But I feel like...
And that's very different as well, isn't it? When it comes to makeup, it's something people use every day, but it's also a business and a profession.
Exactly.
So it makes sense that when it's your business and profession, you use higher-end, higher-quality stuff. Exactly. Yeah, because you're using it on clients. And, like, if I was go to, like... facialist and they started using I don't know, like Mario Badescu on my face, I'd be livid. I'd be absolutely livid. I'd expect a higher end service when I go there because it's a one-off, it's a one-off experience kind of thing.
You're having a girls weekend.
I'm having a girls weekend on my own. But yeah, no, we don't keep anything secret.
No, really,
because it's our jobs to share it, whether it's good or bad.
That's the point, James. Yeah, very true.
Yeah,
well, guys, that has been our Q&A. Let us know if you liked this.
We've got loads more questions.
We've got loads of questions.
Follow on.
Exactly, yeah. If you liked it, we'll do another one.
Maybe we could do like a once-off, like once a month, do two episodes and just do an extra Q&A episode.
That's a good idea. But let me just re-say this. Don't send questions to the messages on this Instagram because we don't get a chance to read it. And I don't want you to... leave you hanging, basically. So don't send like skincare makeup questions to the Double Cleanse podcast Instagram account because nothing's gonna happen basically. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us. It's been lovely.
Oh, we've had the best time.
James, what message do you want to leave everyone with this week? give us a really positive
there. Go out there, but don't, because it's not safe yet.
Exactly.
But just do it. Yeah. But also don't do what you're about to do. Reach your goals.
Yeah.
Reach your goals if they're inside.
Right.
And take care of yourself.
That's it.
Robert, do you have anything?
Yeah, I do. Get out there, but don't get out there. Do your life. Win today.
Yeah. Win at the day.
Win at the day. You're your own boss. What's another one?
I don't know. Wine, men, and chocolate.
Live, laugh, laugh, live.
Live, laugh, live.
We will see you. Well, we won't, but we'll be talking to you next week.
We will.
I hope you can join us.
Are you talking to me?
James, I hope you'll join us again.
I will.
Me and everyone listening. Thank you, guys. We really do appreciate. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Tell all your friends about us and Avon. And oh, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. I'm not going to do that.